It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Thanks to our newest Falcons for jumping on the show with us in the first hour. If you missed those interviews, again, download the app, guys, and go rewind. We'll play some of that for you a little bit later on in the show. But, Mike, all three impressive, right? All three.
Right. I was saying a lot of guys hitting us up on the text line. You always reach out to us. Carl's put them up. See Dukes on Mike Bell, ATL. But everyone who heard the interviews, especially Xavier Watts, really got people fired up. And Billy Bowman comes out of the block swinging. So we'll replay it for you as part of our Falcon Report in 2 hours' time. If you missed it, don't forget the Odyssey app. Bloop, you can rewind. But, yeah, it's just fun to hear these guys, you know, just starting their journey, the rookie mini camp. And then again, I told you I was going to be the hype man, but now I'm really hyped. I can't wait to be up there at camp.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. Look, hope.
It's a good thing, Carl.
It's what we need.
Maybe one of the best things.
It's what we need, man. You got to have some hope. Penix gives us that, right? These new draft picks give us more hope. Guys, I'm going to tell you, half the draft class we didn't see last year gives me hope. I don't know what Trice is. I'm serious. Like, there's reason to believe, okay, some of these guys are going to pop. I'll say this, though, as we get the hour started, guys. And, of course, this hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. The Panthers are releasing Jadeveon Clowney. Now, the only reason I bring this up is because if we hadn't done what we've done, you guys would be clamoring, saying, Dukes and Bell, we got to go get Jadeveon Clowney. The answer's a hard no.
No.
Okay?
No. Not this year.
But we're
this
past
year.
That, Mike.
Yeah.
We got
yeah.
two young guys. I don't know if both of them are going to be great, but we've got two young guys now. We can hang our hat on and say, hey, let's grow with these guys. Let's see what they're going to be. We think they both can be good. All this talk about going to get veteran guys that are 35 or old, we're done with that. Okay? So I just want to put that out there. Please do not tweet or text us about Jadeveon Clowney being let go by the Panthers.
We had guys yesterday literally asking us about, why are we going for George Pickens? Come on, guys. I mean, it's like all you guys know are like the Madden games. You know, like, come on. Jadeveon Clowney, like, he's a good piece. If by chance, heaven forbid, something happened to Leonard Floyd or other injuries ensued and he's still out there, yes. But right now, no. I mean, we are pretty set right now at edge. I mean, we've got a lot of guys. Now, if there's a defensive tackle who gets released, that's a different conversation for me. Is that one for you?
Well, it is. But
depending on the price, of course.
Correct. It depends on who it is. But I just feel like, you know, we've lived this. This has been our nightmare the last few years.
Yeah, we're not. Again, Leonard Floyd is here because he still put up some great numbers. I know there was some, you know, buyer's remorse after, you know, Matthew Judon just didn't pan out. But I'm just pretty cool with right now what we've got in the rotation. So, no, that's a hard pass for me at this stage of his career.
All right, guys, hit us up, 404-726-0929. Lots of stuff going on. We got to talk about last night's NBA stuff. Now, the Braves, we hit on that to start the hour, last hour, and if you missed it, just a questionable decision by Snit. Doesn't make him a bad guy. He's a great manager. But in these moments where, you know, our team is fighting very hard, it feels like, for every win, and again, we are over 500 since starting 0-7, but that was just one of those questionable moments. We'll get back to that. But, Mike, let's talk about what happened, because the Celtics right now are the talk of the NBA. They're the talk of the country simply because they've blown back-to-back 20-point leads. Now, I said to you the other day, I blame Tatum, right, because I thought he's the guy that has the ability to say, calm down and give me the ball, I've got this. But he was bad last night. And when you are continuing to shoot threes, they were 10 of 40 last night. They missed 45 threes in the first game. Mike, they don't have a way to get to a set play to get an easy bucket.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. Vegas had both the Celtics and the Thunder at 10.5-point favorites. And I said, at the end of the show yesterday,
I tell you?
Vegas figures these guys are just going to come back. All right, enough horsing around. We're going to drop the hammer. Well, the Thunder did just that. They absolutely destroyed the Nuggets. I mean, blew them out of the building. The Celtics did the same thing, got up to a nice lead. And now, all right, guys, we got a lead. Let's now not let the Knicks in. Did you learn nothing from game one? And if you didn't see the post game, Joe Mazzulla, I know it's cliche to say on Sports Talk Radio, he looked like a deer in headlights who got hit by the truck. I mean, he had nothing. I mean, he's like mumbling and just kind of, I thought, you know, Tatum got a good look. We look for that play. And if you go back and you look at how they defended that, how about Mitchell Robinson on Tatum? putting him away from the basket.
It was great.
And then the wing players come in, and they collapse on him, and now he doesn't know what he's doing. So I just thought the Knicks played – look, one thing about Thibodeau, if he doesn't wear him in the ground, you know defensively, Carl, in the half court, they always have a plan.
He's always been that dude. And Mike, here's what I'm getting to with this, because I know some of you are like, man, they played like this and they won all year. When you're – this is your only style of play – you don't have any other way to calm yourself down in these moments. And I'll explain. The Bulls did this with the triangle. So did the Lakers. They had a way to say, you know what? We need to relax a little bit. They're going on a run. We can go inside, Michael. We can run a set play for Mike or Kobe, whatever it was. You know what the Celtics set play is? Come down, shoot a three. That's it.
How'd they lose to the Nuggets in five, by the way?
But when you play like that, it's, I'm constantly going, right, Mike, and you don't have a way to just slow down. Even the Tatum bucket before the end of the game where he gets to the rack on an illegal screen and dunks it, that was just one of those, I got to get a slow down.
No, there's no poise. And look, I get it. He gets the big bucks, and he is the dude, but not because he's a hometown kid, we just, Jaylen Brown's tougher.
He's a better player.
Jaylen Brown is mentally tougher than Jason Tatum. You saw it. I mean, in Jason Tatum's comments after they finally won it, they did some of this to a degree against the Nuggets in the finals a couple years ago, too, if you remember.
Blowing leads.
Playing without poise.
Yes.
So, I mean, this and that, you know, to me, is a DNA thing. So, yes, I get it. You know, this is how you get to the playoffs. Playoff basketball is different, and Missoula's going to have to pivot. Because this is, I mean, you got some of the greatest players in the NBA on one team. You got great depth. You got worker bees like Horford. You got Porzingis coming off the bench. You got everything.
You got everything.
And you blow it. And the Knicks, by the way, are buoyed by this. Madison Square Garden is going to be insane. Okay? Spike Lee might be like literally on the floor. I mean, it's going to be bananas because you've just, and the Celtics have put themselves in this hole with just bad decision making.
Well, Mike, here's the thing. He had a timeout and didn't burn it at the end of that game. Here's the other part. He said we wanted to run the same play, which tells me you didn't have anything.
Right.
You got to call a timeout right there. This is a must-have bucket. You've just blown a 20-point lead. Instead, you're doing this, Mike. You're rolling your hand around like, let's run it again.
Right.
And then you don't get anything. So, to your point, that's Missoula, and that's why. Look, they lose this series, he should be fired. And I don't care they just won a championship.
Right.
Because this window that the Celtics have, Mike, and you and I both know, these windows close quickly. They're supposed to be good for the next 5 years with Brown and Tatum in their prime and the accessories they have around them. All of a sudden, you won one, you're about to blow one, and everybody assumes next year things will be fine. Guess what? Injuries always play. And then you're 2 years away from a championship, 3 years. If he loses this series, I'd fire him.
Me too. Like, Ime Udoka was the brains of the operation. You and I, I've been saying it for years. You give him a pass because they won it last year, but obviously, you know, you make these decisions and you're like, what? I mean, a child, somebody who's playing youth basketball would say, well, that's not really, maybe just try to get a layup there, you know? But in the case of the Celtics, so now what? You're going to reinvent your game plan?
No.
You're going to go into the garden and try to get physical? You know, and again, and depending on how the refs call it, good luck with that.
Yep.
So now you're kind of over a barrel with this one. You just got to make your shots. And when that's why so many people, and again, it's not like you're going to be like old fart, but if you grew up in a certain era of basketball, I hate the 3-point shot and the way it just makes these games suck. Makes a regular season just clang, run down the other end, clang, and now you're seeing a team die with it. I love it. I love it.
Let's hear the final sequence, guys. This is the Knicks winning, and Mike said it was a defensive stop, right? The help on Tatum, and he was lost. He's like, dribble through my legs. Oh, what's the clock?
Where's that going, by the way? Who's he kicking it back to?
I have no idea. I think he was trying to hit Brown, but it was almost like, I don't even know if he knew what he wanted to do. Run a play. Run some screens. Get a guy open, Missoula. Here's the final sequence.
Tatum across midcourt with 10. Top of the key with 8. Defended by Robinson with 7. Right wing 3. Crossover. Foul line with 4. Left block. Step back. Stolen by Bridges. Bridges trucks it down court. They've done it again. They've done it again. The New York Knicks take both in Boston. And a 2-0 lead heading back to the Mecca.
I watched a replay about 10 times, and I don't know if it was just a lousy pick or Mitchell just never got – he just basically slides through, and he's just kind of striding right with him, stride for stride with Tatum. And as we said, you get the backside help, and it's all over.
It was terrible. And now – and I hate to even say this, Mike, because I don't like the Knicks. I hope they beat them. I hope they beat them. Right. I really do.
Well, you know me. I have a love-hate relationship with the Knicks. My father loved and lived and died for the Knicks. Watching Patrick Ewing, Carl, will make you hate the NBA. but you know, Bernard King was my guy. You know how people love. You know how people love Dominique. That's how I am with Bernard King. But anyway, yes, I'm a little excited. It will be interesting to see. But yeah, the Celtics have no. I mean, they're literally they got to go through soul searching. Imagine what our sister station, Boston Radio, is killing them. They're killing Missoula right now. They're killing Tatum.
And they absolutely should. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, we got to talk some NFL, and we will let you know what's going on around the league. Also, we got to hear from Michael Penix Jr., who had a great conversation with our buddy Brian McFadden, who joins us on Fridays, CBS NFL analyst, and does a great podcast. Really, it's one of the best one-on-ones that we've seen with Michael Penix, and certainly the access that he got to just kind of hang out and chop it up with him, man. So we'll play some of that for you coming up here on the show. And then tomorrow, B-Mac's going to join us to discuss what he learned about Michael Penix. I mean, look, I think what you see is what you get, right? And that is, he's never too excited, he's never too high, he's never too low. But I also think that sometimes that's mistaken for, like, is he completely all in? Is he focused? And I don't know if that's a fair assessment. I think Michael Penix is doing everything he can to prepare himself for this upcoming season. He knows how big it is, but we're going to play some of that stuff for you, including working with Matt Ryan and, you know, on the Falcons making the playoffs if he started sooner. We played one of those sound bites for you, and he's just, you know, again, he didn't say yeah, but he didn't say no. He understands if he says, well, hell yeah, they should have started me.
Yeah.
Controversy, right?
Well, exactly.
Right.
I thought it was, you know, again, first off, Michael Penix Jr., he's not that kind of guy. He was a team captain at Wazoo, and he knows how to play the game. Not his first time in front of a camera. But, I mean, yeah, you're not going to sit there and be like, yeah, I went to coach and said, this sucker Cousins, he ain't got it. Everybody
he's
knows.
Broke. He's broke.
Everybody knows he's broke down, noodle arm, can't step in the pocket. Get me in there. Put a win. My name is Billy Beeman.
Yeah.
Keep the ladies, Eddie, get the idea, Steve. Yeah, man. He's not going to go Willie Beeman any given Sunday, but there's almost in a way I wish he would.
I do too. That's what I was saying. But that's all on the way. And also, we'll get
my
to
time. That
yeah,
Buster's
man,
days
man
is done.
Yeah. Bomb. Yeah, right. Exactly. If he would have said that, you
it's
know?
MPJ day.
All day, every day. But he didn't say that.
J-Day's shaking his head back there.
Because it'd be great. I mean, like, you all are laughing, but can you imagine? Like, seriously, like, yeah, I was sitting on the sidelines week after week, seeing this man throw interception after interception.
Boom.
And I couldn't take it. I went to coach, but he was like, no, wait your turn. So it's my turn now.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be great, though, J-Day? He gets up on the table, you know, at Waffle House. He's like, drop the zero. Get with the hero.
Well, we're going to have a chance to do that.
What's
and,
funny is the Waffle House setting was the perfect place for him
great
to do that.
It was great.
Right.
It was great. More people were commenting on that
right
to me than
yeah
anything else. They're like, Duke's there at Waffle House. How perfect. But yeah.
Well, you thank B-Mac and his people. They put it together.
No, it's good stuff.